We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Longer, a little bit louder for the Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're so wonderful to us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before you're seated, I want you to look at somebody and tell them, God is good. God is good. Tell them, God is good. God is good. You may be seated. Man, I sure believe that. The Lord is so good. And I believe He's going to do good things today. I believe He's got good things for you today. We are in the third week of our mission and vision series. I want to remind you, what is mission? What is mission? Mission is the purpose. It's what you're called to do. And everybody needs to know their mission. Redemption Church, do you know your mission? Do you know your mission? Our mission is to declare the good news of Jesus Christ and see others become followers of Him. To declare the good news of Jesus and see others become followers of Christ. That is our purpose. That is our what. That is our mission. Also, we have a vision. If your mission is what you're called to do, what is a vision? A vision is how. You see, you don't just need to know what you're going to do. You need to know how you're going to do it. And everybody in this place, you need a mission in life and you need a vision in life. What is the vision here at Redemption Church? It is to be a first century church that connects with a 21st century world. We'll say it again. To be a first century church that connects with a 21st century world. All right. So the first week, we've been looking at the first century church. What are some things in the first century church that we need to have in order to fulfill our mission? And week one, we said that it was all about Jesus. Everywhere you look in your New Testament, they are preaching about Jesus. Everywhere you look in your New Testament, Jesus is still healing people. Jesus is still raising people from the dead. People see Jesus after He's ascended. People hear from Jesus after He ascended. He's all in your New Testament. Every chapter in the New Testament is about Jesus. So as a first century church, we need to make it all about Jesus. That was number one. Number two is when we look at the first century church, we see that they expected and they experienced spiritual transformation. They expected and they experienced spiritual transformation. All right, let's just say it like this. We don't expect you just to come to church today. We expect you to be spiritually transformed. We expect you to be new creatures in Christ. And that's what they expected. We talked last week, we looked at Acts chapter 8, where phenomenal things were happening, right? Just review. Everyone was believing the message of Jesus. Everyone repented. This is Acts chapter 8. You can check it out. Everyone was baptized. Anyone that was sick was healed. Anyone that had a demon in them, the demons came screaming out of them. But then the apostles stopped everything. They said, wait, we got a problem. There was a problem. What's the problem? All these wonderful things were happening, but they said there is something more that needs to happen. And in Acts chapter 8, it says no one yet had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they said, we aren't done yet. God was already moving in their midst, and they could have been happy with that and gone home better than when they came. But they said, no, there's more for us. And they sent the apostles Peter and John, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. What does that tell us? That tells us this, that it's not enough just to feel God's presence. It's not enough just to experience repentance and experience baptism and all the great things that God has for you. God has more for you than anything you've experienced yet. And if you are already just at peace at what you've got from God, you're going to miss out from what He's got from you next. From what He has from you next. So today, we're going to challenge you to walk into spiritual transformation. It's all about Jesus. spiritual transformation. And here's week three. A first century church lives in community. Lives in community. Now, I got to be honest with you. I was raised in a Pentecostal church growing up. So you talked about certain things, and I'm like, all right, let's get to town. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Let's do it. Holy Spirit, let's do it. Talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. All right, I'm up on my feet. I'm clapping. And you talk about community. I'm like, yeah, that's good too. Honestly, that's where I was growing up. But I want to get a load of this. When you read your Bible, when you read Acts chapter 2, sure, you see people being filled with the Spirit. You see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Sir, you see 3,000 people coming to Jesus that day. But you know what is underlined all through the chapter? Community. Don't believe me? Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all separated and no one was together at all. What, is that not what that says? They were all together in one place. And that's when the Spirit moved. All right, we're going to fast forward now to verse 42. Right? Verse 42 and reading through 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know what breaking of bread is? You know what breaking of bread is? It's eating together. It's being together. It's having that kind of fellowship together. Moving on. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. All the believers were, say that word, together and had, this is crazy, everything in common. You want to talk, maybe the biggest miracle that happened that day is they had everything in common. Have you been on Facebook lately? Your Facebook feed doesn't have everything in common right now, right? Republicans are screaming this, Democrats are screaming this, and you're like, just stop already, right? They had everything in common and they were together. Verse 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Anyone? Yeah, anyone. Verse 46, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their sanctuary, in their church, in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were even glad about it, Vicky. They were even glad about it. A first century church lives in community. So you got this chapter that we all like to talk about, the Holy Spirit and the fire and the power, and it starts in community and it ends in community. In fact, the Spirit wouldn't have fallen had they not all gathered together in that upper room like Jesus told them to do. A first century church lives in community. I'm telling you, you can have all the bells and whistles. You can have the big choir. You can have the big praise team. You can have lights and lasers and a big church building. But if you don't have community, that's just stuff. Luke wrote the book of Acts. It is clear to me that he is underlying the importance of community in the church. Community is foundational in the church of Jesus Christ. Why is community important in the first century church? Let's talk about it real quick. Real quick. God's kingdom is a unified kingdom. Jesus himself said this, Luke chapter 11, verse 17. Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. God's kingdom will fall into ruin without community. You believe that? I believe that. Redemption Church, we will fall into ruin without community. I'm telling you, you might be thinking the missing ingredient in my family, in my kids knowing Jesus. You might be thinking the missing ingredient and it's like a glory cloud, Shekinah comes in. Sorry, that's Old Testament references all over the place. But that God would do this thing. Maybe the missing ingredient is actually something simple like being around other Christians and living in community together. God's kingdom is a unified kingdom. Maybe the missing ingredient, all right, we're going to preach here a little bit. Y'all let me? Maybe the missing ingredient is that maybe they heard mom and dad gossiping about someone in the church. Maybe the missing ingredient is that they didn't see a unified love for God's kingdom in their home, all right? Moving on, all right? I know I'm not even preaching to the right congregation with y'all. Y'all are so good. All right, people can accomplish anything if they're unified. That's number two. Number one, God's kingdom is a unified kingdom. Number two, people can accomplish anything if they are unified. In Genesis 11, Genesis 11 is a crazy chapter. That's just one of those chapters you got to like look at it. It's just crazy. The people of the earth, all the people of the earth, all of them, all of the people of the earth, you got it yet? Got it. All of them are unified. And they head out to build a tower. And God said this about their unity. Genesis 11, verse 6. Look at it. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. I want you to get this real quick. These are people that don't have the proper motive. They're actually in rebellion against God trying to build this kingdom. God has told them to go out through the earth and fill the earth and be fruitful and all that. And they're saying, no, I think we're going to all stay here and we're going to build a tower. We're going to build a tower so big that if you want to flood the earth again, God, we're going to just climb up on that tower and you can't destroy us. With some of their thinking. They had every motivation wrong. But here's what God said about them. As long as they are unified like that, they can do anything. Anything. People can accomplish anything if they are unified. People can't accomplish much when division is present. And one only needs to look at our federal government for an example. Number three, community combats hypocrisy. Community combats hypocrisy. A hypocrite will say, I care about people, but won't give care to people. Do you understand that? A hypocrite will say, I care about people, but will not give care to people. A hypocrite will say, I love God and I love people, but will not ever live out that love. And we're really quick to call that hypocrite. But guess what? If we are a Christian not living in community, we are falling prey absolutely to hypocrisy. Community is more than just a group of people gathering under a common banner. Community is so much more. Community is a group of people living life together. And you see, you can gather under a banner, under a denomination, under a belief system, but never live life together. All over this wonderful DFW, and we love you, Dallas Metroplex, we love you. But all over this place, there are churches, and God bless them, we love them too. But they came together because they are a certain denomination. And they went home not in community. They sat just like packed into pews in these big mega churches, and they left as absolute individuals. And they're going to live the rest of their week as absolute individuals. If you truly enter into life together, you will know about each other's hurts. You'll know about each other's successes. You'll know about failures, dreams, needs, and you'll know about these giftings that we all have. But you can't know that without community. You can't say, I love God and I'll do anything for him if you aren't turning around and helping your brother that's in need. But you've not even taken the moment to know that he's in need. You've not even taken the moment to ask him, hey, how are you doing? Review. God's kingdom is a unified kingdom. People can accomplish anything if they're unified. Community combats hypocrisy. Fourth, community is not one-sided. Community is not one-sided. You see, Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Can I just tell you the truth here? Right? You listen? I probably could get everybody in here to agree very quickly that man, it would be good to go help people. You're like, oh yeah, let's go do that. Let's go help those people. Who? And we get all up in arms when we find out someone was going through trouble and they never told us, right? Oh my goodness, they didn't tell us. We would have done something. We would have gone and helped them. But then the other way around, because community is not one-sided, whereas we are very quick to help each other, other people, we are not that quick to ask for help ourselves. And let me tell you, if you're missing out on that portion, then you're missing out on community. And it's a pride thing. It's usually a pride thing. Like, I want to help those people. I want to help those people. Absolutely, absolutely. But I don't ever want to admit that I have needs myself. Let me tell you, that's hypocrisy. And that is a one-sided thing. That's not community. That's not community. Maybe that helps you feel better about yourself, but it's not community. That's not community. You get me? Here's a community test. Everybody look at somebody and push up your nerd glasses, whether they're real or fake. Just push them up and say, community test. Are you ready? Did you study for the community test? Did you study for the community test? I'll look up on the screen at my friend right here. Do you know this guy? There he is with his grandson. Do you know this guy? His name is Ron Mueller. You should know that, right? Ron Mueller. I'm just going to throw these two things up for you. And of course, we have visitors today. No bad if you don't know Ron yet, but you should meet him. He's a cool dude. Here's two things. I want to throw them out for you. Did you know these two things? He is a collector of Hot Wheels. He has an impressive collection of Hot Wheels, and he is an impressive engineer. He's an engineer. He's a great guy to know. Did you know those things? Just answer those things in yourself. Did I know those things? I've seen this guy all the time. Do I know these things? Next. Who is this lovely individual right here? Who is this?
Heather.
That is Heather Stample, everyone. Stample spelled with an I. Heather Stample spelled with an I. Where do you put the I? I don't know. Do you know these things about her? She's a North Carolinian. She's from North Carolina. And she's studying to be a video game creator. Did you know that? Those are two really cool facts. Tar Heels? She's a Tar Heel fan? Tar Heel fan? Yeah. Go Tar Heels. I hate the Tar Heels. All right. Next. Who is this? Well, the little boy's my son, Joshua. It's Patricia Persley. Anybody know anything about her? How about that it's her birthday, or around it. We're celebrating her birthday today, actually. But here's some things to know about her. She's a published writer who visits and helps an elderly lady each week named Pondra. And almost without fail, she goes and helps Pondra. Pondra's been in the hospital. Pondra's been in the nursing home. But we hear all about Pondra. We pray for Pondra. She brings Pondra's needs to us all the time. And she's a published writer. She is a good writer. And last, I'm going to hit you this one. Look at this dude. See this cool dude? You know who that is? That's Robert Cortez. He is an avid YouTuber. Did you know this guy is a YouTube fiend? He puts out YouTube videos of him playing and complaining about video games without end. Hours and hours of him playing and complaining about video games. It's true. And he's learning to play the electric guitar. All right. So that was our community test. Just a small little thing. Here's what I want to talk to you about. These are not small facts about these people. If you have a normal conversation with these people, these facts actually should come up. It's not crazy to know where someone's from. It's not crazy to know that someone's put out like 50 YouTube videos. It's not crazy to know someone has written a book. It's not insane to know that somebody is going to school for something incredibly interesting. If you have a normal conversation, these facts ought to come up. If you are in community with these people, you would definitely know these things. Can we just get honest about it? So if these things are things you didn't know, let me just, not beating you down, but I'd like you to question your level of community when it comes to these people. Let's get here, because these are facts about these people, right? But community is more than knowing facts about people. But let me tell you this, if you don't know what someone does, what they're interested in, what they're hoping to accomplish. If you don't know those cursory things, then you probably don't know their dreams. You probably don't know their struggles. You probably don't know their fears. You probably don't know their failures that haunt them. And let me tell you, that's the part of community that they need you to know. That's the part of community that we need. You see, we need to know more than just surface level things about each other. But let me tell you, church people are usually doing very good to just kind of remember people's names. In churches, it's amazing. I remember joining a new church once, and I knew friends in that church, and I walked to, these people have been in this church for 30 years. The church was about 75 members, and I said, who are those people over there? And they said, you know, I don't know them. They've been going here 30 years. They've been going there 30 years, and they don't know their names yet. That's church folk. That's church. That's not community. That's church stuff. That's church stuff. That's not even knowing the surface level things. Let me tell you, not only should you know surface level things about each other, you should know deep things about each other. You should know what your brother and sister in the Lord are called by God to do. You should know what's passionate in their heart. You should know what their hopes are. You should know what their fears are. You should know that they need prayer. You should know these things, right? That's community. Man, we miss out. We're missing out when we're not in community. Do we know each other? Do we know each other? Are we allowing each other to know each other? Do I just want you to know that I'm a pastor? Or am I really willing to open up the corridors of my life where I reveal that I'm not perfect, that I have fears of my own, that I've got other struggles that I'm working on right now? Do we know each other? In this world, community is hard to find. Would you agree? Yes. Oh, you bet it is. A world struggles with community. We have this culture struggle I want to talk about. Neighborhoods have been reduced to a collection of homes with no real community. We call them neighborhoods. It's just a grouping of houses. It used to be that people knew each other. Real quick, can you think what the people around you, what their names are? You live in that neighborhood, but it's... Remember... Mr. Rogers, these are the people of your neighborhood. I grew up with that. I don't know all the people in my neighborhood. Gosh, the world's not a community in that simple way. Here's another. People don't talk like they used to. We stay at surface level at all times. You get asked this question all the time. Hey, how are you doing? And that's just a weird dynamic every time that's asked. Because you are hit with the thing of, do I tell them really how am I doing? Or just say, I'm doing good. And so you just go, I'm doing good. All right, cool. And you can move on. Or you say, I've done this before too. Well, you know, things have been really, they've already moved on. They've already oh, well, that's great. You know, I was going to ask you if you could. People don't talk like they used to. People don't go deep with each other. Here's the other thing. People tend to not want to get involved. When trouble strikes, don't want to get involved. Oh man, they're going to be in need of money, and I like my money to stay right here. I don't want to get involved. People facing trouble don't know who they can turn to for help and understanding today. Because everywhere they look, people don't want to get involved, and everywhere they feel in their heart, they don't want to ask. Do we have a better relationship with Google than we do with each other? You ask Google everything. You ask Google everything. Do you have the freedom? Do you have the relationship where you could ask the people in your own home anything? Where you could ask the people in your church anything? The people in your connect group, your pastor, asking people anything. Do you have that? You see, I'm going to tell you today, we can't go with the flow of culture because culture is going the wrong way. You actually have to go against the stream of culture. And that is not like an easy thing to do. That is a full-on assault, and you have to push against the flow of culture. If you try to stand still against the flow of culture, you're going to drift. You can't stand still against the flow of culture. You have to push harder against culture than it is pushing on you. So when we live in a day and age of culture where we just friend people at the drop of a hat, but we don't know anybody, you got to change that. You got to go harder against that flow of culture. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Don't go with the flow of culture. But here's the problem with that. Community disrupts the flow of our life. Community disrupts, it messes up our plan, right? Are you willing to do that? Back to the first century church. Look at this first century church. They met together more than once a week. For some of us, we're like, I'm out, I'm just too busy. I get it that you're busy. They met daily. It said daily? Daily. They met daily. I'm not going to announce that we're having daily meetings here at Redemption Church. But you know, I'm not talking about daily meetings. I'm talking about they were doing life together daily. Oh man, they met together more than once a week. They shared life together. You talk about a disruption of things. That meant somebody had a dollar that they were going to spend over here, but they saw their brother was in need. So that dollar didn't go buy the newest flat screen TV. It went over here and it blessed their brother. They shared life together. Do you see how that disrupt? You were planning 5 months to buy this thing. And then last moment, they're going, how do I have a large screen TV if they don't have food on the table? Ah, bless them. They worked past their differences and had all things in common. Oh, come on now. Because yeah, you've seen church problems, right? There's no problems like a church problem. And if you've been in church, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know about that, praise God. We pray that you never know about it. But let me tell you, people aren't perfect. People in the church aren't perfect. And these people worked past their differences and they had all things in common. That means they got along even when they disagreed. They made community a priority in their finances. Check out how committed the first century church was to community. This is in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. They shared everything they had. No one dared to say that their possessions belonged to them. Does that sound like the year 2017 here in the United States? No. They shared what they had. They acted like the possessions didn't belong to them. They actually acted like their possessions belonged to God. And they belonged in His kingdom. And so they were freely able to give them back into His kingdom. Acts chapter 4, reading on, verse 33 through 35. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Look back at verse 34. Look at this verse. There were no needy persons among them. Wow. Wow. All glory to God, right? That's amazing.
Yes.
No. Contemplate that. I mean, just really think about that. A group of people where no one was doing without. And not because the economy's going swell. Because it wasn't. Do I need to remind you that some of the people in their community were slaves? Do I need to remind you that some of the people in their community were orphans and widows? Do I need to remind you that? It wasn't because things were all going great. It's because they were in community and someone would share what they had so that all their needs would be provided. They didn't just say, well, we're going to pray that God provides your need. They said, God has given us this and we know that it will provide your need. We'll freely give it. That is the New Testament church. That's the first century church. The world needs to get a dose of that kind of church today. People who needed friendship. Do you realize that in this room right now, there's somebody in need of friendship? Do you get that? Do you understand that? People are in need of friendship. Guess what? That was happening in the first century church, but it was taken care of in community. People who needed wisdom and advice, it was taken care of in community. James says, anyone who needs wisdom, let him ask. People who needs prayer, taken care of in community. People that needed someone to pull them inside and say tough words. You know, we need that sometimes. Pull them aside and say, you know what? I'm afraid you're making a bad decision. Can we talk about what you're trying to do here? That's taken care of in community. Orphans, widows, taken care of in community. The people that society had turned their back on, taken care of in community. It's a culture struggle. The world has never seen a culture like the first century church. The world's never seen anything like it. Well, can I get real with you? The world has seen plenty of cultures come and go, plenty of religions come and go where people were really boisterous and passionate. They've seen that before. They've seen cultures and religions come where they built big cathedrals. They've seen that before. They've seen religious cultures where people, you know, gave, you know, strong things and you know, decided to do big things for their belief system. But no one ever, nothing ever has looked like this culture here. That is the first century church. There is nothing like it on the face of the planet. That is the culture of Jesus Christ being lived out in the people. That is Jesus. That is not somebody saying, hey, I've got an idea. It's a great strategy to grow the church. No, that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus was in Peter. Jesus was in Paul. Jesus was in John. Jesus was in Barnabas. Jesus was in everybody and living out in community with those people. Instead of yelling and screaming at each other when they disagreed, they loved each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, let it happen right here in this 21st century. Amen. The first century church embraced a new culture, a culture only found in God's kingdom. We need to do the same thing in the 21st century. So, how do we recapture community culture? I've got four things for you. Number one is repent. Everyone say repent. Repent. You need to repent. Do you know what repentance is? Repentance is a turnaround. It's turning around from the direction you're going. So if you're going in a direction where you are the most important thing in your life and you're not living in community with anyone else, you need to turn away from that. You need to ask God to forgive you and you need to walk into a new direction. We need to do that today as a church. We need to do that. Every family needs to do that today. Every single person needs to do that today. We need to repent. We need to turn around. Repent. Number two, we need to reconnect with the community builder, God. Because God's the community builder. You realize God looked out and he saw Adam and he said, you know what? It's not really good that Adam's alone. I'm going to build community for him. And he creates Eve. That's the community builder, God. We need to reconnect with this simple idea that God loves everyone. And that you can't just love God without loving other people. I've had that conversation with God before. Have you had that conversation with God before? I've had this conversation. God, I love you. Those people stink, though. I don't like them at all. I can't stand. Could you just come quickly, Jesus, so I don't have to be with them? And it's like, they're going to be in heaven, too. Oh. Don't get it, right? I didn't understand. It took me a while. The Bible says if we say we love God, but we don't love our brother and sister, it says something really strong. It says that we are liars. And the truth is not in us. We need to reconnect with the community builder, God. Repent, reconnect, and we need to reflect. We need to reflect God's community with other believers in His church. Reflect it. What does that mean? That means that we aren't the light source, but that we will reflect the light source that is God. We will reflect the character that is God. You see, when we turn and give community, it's not Chris Fluitt being just a swell dude. No, it is Chris Fluitt trying to reflect the Savior. And then he gets all the glory. It's not, man, Chris Fluitt, he must be loaded. He gave me $2. I'm a pastor. We don't make much, okay, guys? But he gave me money. He must be really well off and really cool dude. No, not that. It's not about that. It's the love of God. It all came from him anyway. I'm trying to reflect. We need to repent. We need to reconnect. And we need to reflect. There is something really gross when somebody says they are a Christian, but everything you see them reflecting is the world and not Jesus. Everything you see them reflecting is bitterness and hatred of a past situation and not the grace and mercy that ought to be reflecting from heaven. We need to reflect God's community. And then last, we need to reach out. We need to reach to those outside the church that live in our neighborhoods. Do you know you're responsible for your neighborhood? You need to reach out to the people that work at your job. You know you're responsible to do that? It's not like if you have time, could you do that? No, he gave you the Great Commission. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. God wants you. People, I've heard Christians many, many times give lists of thou shalt nots, and you got to do this and not do this, and never talk about the Great Commission. You want to talk about really what you need to be doing? It's the Great Commission. That is the mission, the purpose that God gave His church, and I'm talking about you. You got to reach out to the school you attend. You need to reach out. Repent, reconnect, reflect, and reach out. You know, there's somebody that they don't understand the love of Jesus. Not because they haven't read their Bible. Some of them have read their Bible. They still don't understand the love of Jesus. Well, help them understand the love of Jesus is when you reach out to them and show them the love of Jesus in the flesh. You see, Jesus is God incarnated, right? But He's ascended. But now the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in all believers, and it's supposed to act like an incarnation of sorts, where we are being Jesus, Milton, to the people around us. And they see God in us. Paul said it this way, we are His epistle, we are His word, we are His Bible read of all men. Who is? We are. Some people will never open up a book of the Bible, but they will see you. And Paul says, that's it, right there. You are His epistle, read of all men. Recapturing community must continue when we leave a worship service. And we do that by doing the three things we do when we leave. We tell you these three things we do when we come, and we tell you there's three things we do when we leave. Here's the things we do when we leave. Connect with God. He's the community builder. None of this makes sense without Him. Connect with other believers. That's part of that community. And connect others to the love of Jesus. We tell you to do this every 3 weeks. That's community right there. Not every 3 weeks. Every week we tell you to do the three things. I get confused sometimes. Thank you. She looked so confused it made me realize I said something wrong. Connect with God, with other believers, and connect other people to the love of Jesus. I found, here's just really something simple. I used to have two sections of friends. I had friends that knew Jesus and friends that didn't know Jesus, and I made sure to keep those people apart. Oh yeah, when I was in high school, I absolutely did. I tried to keep these people separated from these people so I could act one way here and I could act another way here. I thought this was how I would be really cool. I was a nerd. I didn't even know it. All right, but do you have friends in these compartments? That you have these friends in your connect group, you have these friends that really know Jesus, and then you have these friends that don't, and you could like bring them together. I'm not even talking bring them to church. I'm talking bring them to Starbucks, bring them to a movie, bring them to dinner, bring them to a party, bring them to an outing, bring them to the park, bring connect people together. That is community. It's so hard to be a Christian and to share the faith of Jesus. No, we're doing it completely wrong. God's not called you to preach a three-point sermon. He's called you to connect. Would you do it? Are you really connected to this community right here? Do you just show up or do you go deeper? See, there's this level of walking in the building. But do you go deeper? Do you go deeper in connection with God? Do you just stand through a worship service? Or do you like get into the worship service? Do you hear the sermon? Or do you let that sermon get into your heart? Do you just like stand through our altar that we're about to have in a little moment and you just wait for the poem? Or do you like get into that moment and say, okay, God, what do you have for me? Here's what I've got for you. It's a bunch of junk. Would you take it? Would you go into that? See, that's community right there. But even at that, there's this base level of, hello, how are you? What's your name? Some of you haven't even passed that threshold yet. But regardless, would you go deeper than that? Would you? We try to make opportunities for you to connect. We have connect groups. We have play groups, we have study groups, we have youth groups, we do everything in groups. We're even planning a prayer and worship night group thing, group. But let's be honest here. Community is not something you can program to happen. We don't just need like another church program and that's what's going to bring community. It is something that you live out. It's something no one has to tell you. Oh, we're going to have this thing and be here at this certain time. No, community happens naturally. Just live it out. A first century church community is what Dallas Metroplex needs. Wherever you are, like watching this, if you're watching this online or listening to this sermon, a first century church is what your city needs too. God wants us to reach this entire area. Plano, Allen, Irving, Grand Prairie, Arlington, Dallas, Wiley, on and on to the ends of the earth. He doesn't just want to see us bring people to a church service. He wants us to live in community with them. He wants us to go into all the world. You see, we think the Great Commission is go into all the world and get them to come back to you to a church service. No, it's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to ask a musician to come. I'm about to close. A first century church lives in community. So what do you need to do today? You heard this sermon, so what do you need to do? You just heard a challenging message. I'm going to tell you, you need to act. Here's what you need to do. You need to repent for not being active in community. You need to spend some time today saying, God, forgive me. I could be more connected to people. You need that turnaround that is repentance. You also need to learn how to get involved around here. And that's on leadership. That's my job. I mess up on that sometimes. I've been so convicted this week. I'm so quick to tell you to repent, but I'm not always so quick to give you an option how to live that out. So let me do that real quick. We have these things called redemption classes around here. If you ever want to get involved to a deeper level at this church, there is a class called redemption class, and it's a 3-level class. And you take that class if you want to learn about the church, if you want to learn how to get involved in the church, if you've got a desire to help other people, you just take these steps into these classes. It's redemption class. You hear us talking about it. That's what it is. And you just sign up for it. There will be a slide at the end of service. It's got a text. You could just text in that you're interested and we'll get that set up. Okay? Real simple. How about this one? We have these all-hands staff meetings around here, all the all-hands meetings. And one of those is happening again soon. It's happening in February, February 12th. And that's a way to learn about what the church is doing. That's a way to learn about who's involved in what. That's a way to learn about all the ministries that we're trying to do, that we're a part of all throughout the world, but even what we're dreaming about right now, and you could be a part of that. Be a part of that. You're going to hear us talk about it many more weeks, but it's on you to be there. So be there. That's a way to be involved. And here's one that's really simple. Ask. Ask. Just ask someone. Walk up and ask this question. Here's a question for you to ask. How are you connected around here? How are you connected? Maybe you'll walk up to somebody and they'll say, well, I go to a connect group. So then you say, hey, what day is that? I'm going to try to go to that this week. That's simple. Just ask, how are you connected around here? Well, I come on Sundays when I get to. Well, hey, let's come next Sunday. Let's hang out. Ask, and then put yourself into that. Ask, how are you connecting with God this week? You want to get together and drink some coffee and talk about God? That's awesome. We've also got an anonymous text line. Can you throw that picture up on the screen? We have an anonymous text line. That means if you got a question you're scared about asking, this is an anonymous number. You can call it 214-856-0550. And we don't know who it is, but we'll answer it. Your pastoral team here will answer it. We don't know the numbers. We don't know who these people are, but we'll answer them. Okay? Ask, ask, ask. Get involved. Find people to hang out with. Do life with each other. And start today. Simply walk up to somebody and say, hey, we could hang out sometime. What do you think? That's community. And it's really simple. Spend some time in prayer asking God where He wants you to be in this community. That's what I want you to do today. Spend some time in prayer asking God, where do you want me to be in this community? I feel a draw to be in this community. God, show me where that is. Some of you have the exact gifting that someone else needs in this church right now. You have the exact calling and the exact ministry that this house needs right now. So share that gift. As I was talking, I believe that God brought someone to your mind that you know needs to be in this community. Pray with them. Pray for them today. And come into the first 2 feet of this altar, and our prayer team will help you pray for them. Last thing I'm going to tell you is this, that there is a greater depth than where you are right now. Right? I'm talking to Pastor Chris Fluitt, I'm talking to me right here. Pastor, you just preached a sermon, but guess what? There is greater depth in God that you could go today. Are you ready? Praise team, y'all did a bang-up job today, but let me tell you, right now in this moment, God has a greater depth for you to go. Are you willing to go there? Some of you did ministry in this church today. You set up tables, you put up banners, you cleaned the rooms, you did all this stuff. Let me tell you, that's awesome, but even right now, there is a greater depth for you to go. Some of you felt God's presence today, but don't you dare think that that's all there is. There is a spiritual transformation that God has for you. Will you go to a greater depth than you've ever gone today? Push out into it. Remember, there's this culture struggle that says, no, I've gone far enough. But when you say that, you drift. You got to go stronger than the culture. These altars are open right now. You want special prayer? Meet me right here in the first 2 feet. I want to pray with you. Come on, these altars are open. Talk to God. That's what this time is about. As you come, I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person that's in this house. Thank you, God, for inviting us into your kingdom. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want you to lead us and guide us. I want you to put it in our hearts what you want us to do, God. Lord, there's people in this house with...
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.